so desperately need you to speak into our lives. And so, Father, we pray that you would do just that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Smile in the face of your enemies. Have you ever had an enemy before?
Yeah.
A couple of y'all. Most of y'all are like, you know what? Everybody loves me. Everywhere I go, everybody just says great things about me, and everybody's just got nothing but nice things to say. When you know God and you know what he can do and what he will do, you can smile in the face of your enemies. Why are we even here today? Why are we here? Why did you set your alarm, or some of you didn't, why did you set your alarm, rearrange your schedule, and you're here today? Why? We're going to answer that question today from 2 Samuel. If you're joining us for the first time, this is what we do. We go through a book of the Bible and we figure out what God has for us. We read from it and then we hope that God will change things about us so that we can serve him more wholeheartedly. There's many reasons that people go to church. Lots of them. And some of these are going to resonate with you today. People go to church because they want to see people. They just want to see people. They want to be with people. They don't want to be alone. People come to church because they want to talk with people. They come to church because they want to get the latest gossip. People come to church because they want to get noticed. People come to church because they want to feel appreciated, to feel better about myself, to get a better perspective on life. Oftentimes, people come to church just because they want to hear good music. People come to church just because they want to serve. Oftentimes, people come to church because they want to be part of something bigger than themselves. Amen. Some people come to church just because they want to build business connections. Some people come to church just because they want to improve their marriage. Some people say, you know what, my kids will be more obedient if I take them to church. I can stop my addictions or my bad behaviors if I go to church. I'm going to go to church so I can check in on Facebook and my friends can think that I'm a good person. Some people only go to church because they want to be in charge of something or they want to influence other people. Some people come to church just because they're trying to find a spouse. Some people come to church to find friends or to be part of some hip growing church or to feel validated in their lifestyle. Some people come to church because they want to serve the poor, to help people, to learn something, expand their minds, check the box, to feel better, to feel God's presence, to fall out, to receive a word, to advance their own ministry, to expand their influence, etc., etc., etc. There's a lot of reasons why people go to church. There's also many reasons why people go to a sports event. To be around people. To talk with people. To get noticed. To be a part of something bigger than themselves. To build business connections. To do something with my spouse and kids. To do something positive instead of addictions. To check in on Facebook so everybody knows that I support the team. To find a spouse. To find friends. To be a part of a winning team. To expand their mind. To feel different. To get caught up in the excitement. To wear the gear. Feel like a winner. Have something to argue about. Do their civic duty. To be around famous people, to hear good music. There's a lot of reasons why people go to a sporting event. See, sports events and church have a lot in common in that, you know, when you go to a sporting event, everybody arrives together. When we came to church today, you arrived with each other. You get a shared sense of identity of like, hey, we're here together and we're wearing the same gear and FEC life. And I go to the Seahawks game and it's high fives. You go in and there's rituals, there's a coin toss, there's communion, there's songs that we sing and there's songs that we sing at church. You go there and you watch the game and you feel part of something bigger than yourself. You come to church and you feel bigger than yourself. You clap for the team and you yell for the team and you amen at church. You exit the stadium, you leave the church and you have this shared identity. And you go to a sporting event for one reason and one reason only. To watch the game, man. That's it. Like, nobody goes and pays a couple $100 to go watch the Seahawks. And then when the Seahawks take the field, they say, you know what? I want to walk around and look at the building. No one walks around and says, you know, I just want to know the history, the architecture, and they don't sit there in the outside of the stadium. And what's interesting is when you're at a Seahawks game, you're sitting next to other people, and you don't care about those people. You care about what's going on the field, because you're there for the game. And you don't even really care who you're sitting next to, because you're there for the game. You don't care if the music doesn't sound right, or you don't care what the weather is doing, because you're there for the game. When you come to church, it is for one reason, and one reason only, and that's to worship God. Amen. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. You are here to worship God. John 4:23 says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. See, sports people have it right in the sense that they know how to adore something. It's the wrong worship to a wrong God, though. Many churches create these experiences where they're not worshiping even the God of the Bible. They're creating an experience that's more concerned with the people than concerned with God. We want to worship God the right way, and we want to worship the right God. What is worship? Worship is a decision to make everything about thanking God for everything. Worship is a decision to make everything about thanking God for everything. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah, if you've been following along, you've been doing your homework and reading 1 Samuel. Hannah was a woman. She wanted to have a baby. She was barren, and so she cried out to God, God, give me a son. And so God gave her a son in Samuel. And so what we're looking at this morning is a response to what it is for her after she has received what God gave her. Watch this. She needed something, God gave her something, and this is her response, a heart of worship. And Hannah prayed and said, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints. But the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. What do we see from that? Hannah worshiped God. Because Hannah worshiped God, we should worship God. Amen. What did we just see in that song? We see a heart of worship. Now, here's the thing I always want people to remember about Hannah is that Hannah didn't have an easy life, right? When we read 1 Samuel chapter 1, we don't see great things happen in her life. She was barren. She was attacked for her barrenness. Her husband was clueless. She was hurting. She was sad. She had a broken heart, anguish and resentment. She was at war with others, with herself, and with God. But yet she chose to worship. We're no different than Hannah. We ask those same questions of God and say, God, why do people attack me? I try to do good, but people still attack me. God, why do I hate myself? There's things about me that I don't like. There's things I wish I didn't do, or there's things I don't like about who I am. And then we ask, why won't God give me what I want? And it's a common story, man, but even today what we see is that her worship shows that she's been transformed by the living God. She says, in spite of my past, in spite of what I've gone through, I know that God has saved me. I know that God has delivered me. He has given me a son, and I can't not worship. I can't not give God my heart. I cannot lift up his name. She was thankful for what God had done. She saw God for who he was, and she became dependent on him. She was thankful. Have you ever done something for someone and they didn't thank you? Some of y'all are like, nope. You know what? I could ask the most rhetorical question and half of you be like, I am never going to speak a word. I will never amen that guy. I'm like, do you have a mouth? People are like, no. Now, I wish I could say in my Christian walk that I'm in a place of this high level of spirituality that every time I do something for somebody, I don't expect a thanks. But if I was being completely honest, sometimes you do stuff for people and you kind of want the thanks, right? Yeah. Come on, where are my people at? Where you people want the thanks? I want it. All right. So we have an all-you-can-wash car wash deal at the car wash down here in Auburn. And it's $20 a month, but I can wash. We got a big SUV, and it's black. And it takes me like an hour to wash that, or I can spend $20 a month, and I can take it through three times a week. So that's just what we do. I was like, we just wrap that up into the cost when we bought it. I'm like, if I'm getting a black vehicle, I'm getting the car wash. So you go there, and then you get this little barcode on the door. And so every time you come up, they come by with the little gun. They open up, and like, and like that, and they're like, can we take off your antenna? I'm like, no, it's fine, have a good day. I'm like, have a good day. And then they go, right? I sometimes, depending on what's going on in my pocket, you know, I might throw them a dollar. You know what I'm saying? I just kind of, you know, pull out that little dollar and I'll give it to them, and they come, they go, geek, and they do the thing, and I give them the dollar. And sometimes they'll be like, thanks. And I feel satisfied in my spirit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, for a dollar, I'm the big guy. You know what I'm saying? But oftentimes, man, they just take that dollar. They don't even say nothing, right? I found my dollar wasn't getting a lot of thanks. And they're supposed to scrub the back of the SUV with the brush. And so I give them the buck, hoping that I'll get an extra scrub on the back of the SUV. But no thanks. No. So this is what I did. I said, you know what, maybe it's the $2. Maybe I'm going to up it from one to two. Maybe the $2 gets the thanks. The one, not much thanks. $2, you get some thanks. So now when you put, like, I took out my bankroll of probably $7, and I'm peeling off these. You know what I'm saying? And when you hand them the two, you don't want to fold them up, because then you got to spread them out, right? So you're like, $2, right? Now, I wish this was an example and not a real story. But, you know, I put out the $2, and the worker just kind of, they take the thing, and then they just walk. I didn't even get the scrubby scrub on the back. No thank you, no scrubby scrub, take my $2. Roll down the window. Hey, you're welcome. You like that tip? Thanks. Listen, man, y'all can grow at whatever level of spirituality y'all want to grow out. I'm just going to be myself. So you guys laugh at that story, but in your spiritual walk, you're the worker that takes the $2 and doesn't say thank you. God's looking like, did you not notice? You just take me for granted now? Like, this is what you get, a buck for... See, it was a really funny story when this was about me and you make about you, and y'all are like, that ain't even right, dude. That ain't even right at all. Here's what Hannah had based on her worship. She had a heart that worships, that knows protection, that sees a holy God, that wants life change. Hannah saw strength in God and his provision and God's sovereignty and dominion, his justice and his plan to install an eternal king in Christ Jesus. But the biggest thing, the response from Hannah for having God move in her life, was to worship. to be thankful, to have God be bigger than her and her problems. She didn't just take what God had given her and went on her merry way. She didn't say, hey, thanks for the sun. Thanks for changing the trajectory of my life. I'm going to go back to doing what I'm doing. No, she said, I realize that God has done something in my life and I must worship him. I have to worship him. Have you guys ever heard of A.W. Tozer? Dude, if you don't know Tozer, get you some. Tozer's awesome. He said this. Sometimes I go to God and I say, God, if you never answer another prayer while I live on this earth, I will still worship you as long as I live and in the ages to come for what you've done already. He said, God's already put me so far in debt that if I were to live 1 million millenniums, I couldn't pay him for what he's done for me. That's a heart of worship, man. How can we pray, repay God? We can't. And honestly, how can we ask for anything more? Yeah. How can we ask for anything more? Did he not give us enough on Calvary? Did he not save us from our sins? Did he not set us free from the law of sin and death? Have we moved from death to life? No, but what happens is that it slowly becomes into a list of demands. And I'm sorry if you've been taught this idea where you think that it's somehow about you. This might come as a surprise to some of y'all. None of this is about you. None of this. This church, and people have been sold this bill of goods where it says like, oh, you know, God sent Jesus to die for you because you were valuable. That's a lie. I wasn't valuable at all. I was a wretched, depraved sinner. I had no value to God. It's because God is good, not because I'm good. He didn't say you're good enough to die for. He said you're not good enough to die for, but because I'm good, I'm going to die for you because I want you to know that I love you. None of this is for you. And when we live in this mindset that starts to think like, well, somehow it's got to be about me because everything else in this world is about me. Worship is not a feeling, it's a choice. Worship may stir up feelings, but it's not about that. There's no worldly relationship that works that way. None. Unless you're a mean person. It doesn't work with your spouse. Like, I didn't feel like it. You didn't what? I knew I said I'd come by and buy you lunch and come to your work, but I just didn't feel like it. How often would you go to work if you only went when you felt like it? I mean, do you wake up every day and be like, yes. At the end of the day, boss is like, please leave. No, I'll work for free. I love it here. It's really funny for some of y'all. Even for me, man, like sometimes on a Sunday morning, that alarm goes off at 6 o'clock, and me and Crystal always jokingly say to each other, like, man, let's not go today. Just make some waffles, hang out. They won't miss us. I wish I could say every Sunday I felt like coming here, but that would be a lie. Some days I just want to eat waffles and stay at home. Y'all never feel that way? Yeah, come on, man. I mean, me and Crystal go to the gym. Now, I really believe that Crystal wants to go all the time. I don't. She's like, let's go to the gym. I'm like, come on, let's go get donuts. We need to go. I go because I know it's good for me. I know that I'm supposed to. We can't live our lives based on feelings. Worship is no different. We can't just do it when we feel like it. We choose to worship. We make a decision to say that we want to worship God. We make a decision to say that we want to worship God. In spite of what's going on in our own lives, we say, do you know what? I must worship God. Folks, it's a moral imperative. Jesus said in Luke 19 that if we didn't worship, that the rocks would cry out. We must be people of worship in our lives and in our church. In every part of us, we need to live lives of worship. I mean, frankly, I mean, even this, the preaching of the word is worship. People say, well, how is it worship? Why? Because God is refining you and removing things from your life and heart so you can worship him even better.
Amen.
That's why preaching is so important, because you should go before God and say, God, if there be anything in me that's not of you, tear it out. And that's the benefit of the preaching of the word, is it changes things inside of your heart. And frankly, if this word stings, good. Because we're getting to the heart of where your heart is at, because God wants you to have a heart of worship.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to have a heart of you. God didn't save you for you. He saved you for him. Amen. Deuteronomy 29:18, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve other gods of these nations, that there may be not among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And you know, praise God, my wife's word this morning, it was a little ouch. I was like, okay. But where's your heart at, man?
Yeah.
Because that's what happens with your heart, is that you get bitterness and that wormwood. And people say, well, you know, I'm not going down the street and worshiping the fatted calf. Like, there's not a golden calf that I'm worshiping. But many people worship things like their identity. I have often worshiped the opinions of men. I there's been times where I've worshiped my wife early on in our marriage, where I put her in a position to fix me and to take care of all of my spiritual needs instead of worshiping God. People end up worshiping the God of sex, or the God of money, or the God of activities, or the God of their career, the God of whatever it is. And they'll give full adoration and full trust and full love to these dying things instead of giving it all to God. Some people worship the God of politics. Can we stop believing that our politicians are going to save us?
Yeah.
Can we stop? You know, and I've said this to you guys before, one of the things I love about Trump is it should be a living sermon example forever that no president can save us.
Yeah.
None, man. And as, dude, let me, hold on, the second service, I got a couple extra minutes. You know what's so funny? And I was talking to Crystal about it this week. Everybody is always like, Trump, 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 and he's a bad this, and he's a bad that. Trump is not the problem, Trump is the result. We have been a godless nation. Wanton divorces, sexual immorality, yeah. Greed, and at all costs taking over other people. And then we produce this person and we're like, why do we have this type of president? It's the fruit of a godless nation.
Yeah.
He's not the reason, he's the result.
Yeah.
Whew. Fired up. All right, back to this. So you're going to worship God, amen? Worship him. What does true worship look like? Firstly, it's about him and it's not about you. See, if you're here long enough, you'll look and you'll see that, like, we try to choose songs that are vertical and not horizontal. I don't want to sing songs about God. I don't want to sing songs about myself. I want to sing songs to God, because we're not here to worship ourselves. We're here to worship God. That's where the heart has to be. We want to sing songs to God. Secondly, we try to make worship about worship, not about anything else. It's not about what it looks like. It's not about what it sounds like. It doesn't matter if we're playing the hippest song on the list. You know, I've had people that have come to our church before and they're like, man, the stage is really bland and boring. I'm like, well, if we were worshiping the stage, that would be a problem. You know, we bought these little LED lights. They were $100. It's pretty slick. You know what I'm saying? Well, what's your stage light color? Light. It's the color. Why do we have to repackage God to look something? Is the Spirit of the living God not enough? Is his presence not enough? Is he not enough? Here, what's funny is some of y'all, and this is, man, now we're getting into it. You done messed up now. People say, man, how many times we got to sing that song? We've been singing this song since the 90s. If you would get your neighbors saved and get them to church, they don't know any of those songs. They won't come to church and be like, shout to the Lord. This is kind of an old song, isn't it? No, they would be like, shout to the... And you remember when you heard Shout to the Lord the first time? You loved that song. Now you're like, again, I've been shouting for years. Thirdly, we want to leave church asking if God was worshipped, not if the people were pleased. Because I fall into this trap sometimes, man. I'll preach a sermon, and then we're driving home, like, man, they didn't seem to amen that much. Because I want the, you know.
Good job,
thanks, brother. Appreciate it. So you know what's so funny? He just got saved. He's fired up. He got saved. Sherrod been saved for 3 weeks, man. He drives all the way from Bremerton to come to church. You know, so I guarantee you, he hadn't been complaining about the sound. What's going on here, popping? What's going on? Pretty sure that he wasn't like, you know, it seemed like they missed a step on that one song. It was supposed to be like, dun, 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 dun. I'm sure he ain't sitting there going like, oh, why can't these people get their stuff together? These volunteers. They don't have the words up on the screen and they're... When you get saved, man, all that other stuff just goes away.
Amen.
That's how you can tell if your heart is wrong in worship. If you're sitting in here complaining about stuff, you are not in the right place emotionally or in your heart.
Amen.
You should ask yourself every time you come to church, why am I here today? For whom am I here today?
Amen.
Who do I want to see most of all? Where is my heart directed at today? Because, you know, I want to say stuff, but I don't know if y'all can't handle it this morning. I just... All right, it's going to hurt. You know, here's the thing, too, though, is that, like, and I get it, man, like, the church continues to grow, and it's because we honor God and we worship God. But like, and it's never been about me and Crystal. It's never been about that. We've never been like that, man. We've always tried to make it about God.
Amen.
And then people come to church and they're like, well, how come I don't get to talk to the pastor? Why? Well, because people are here that are new, that don't know Jesus. You've been serving God for 20 years, and your relationship with Christ is predicated on being able to talk to the pastor? Like, grow up, man. Seriously. You know what's funny? I'm fired up. Yeah, you know what? Most of the time, me and Crystal are the last people to leave here. I will sit in that foyer talking to everybody until it is cleared out. But people say, well, if I can't talk to them in the first 30 seconds after service because I got to go on to my next thing, then you walk around and be like, well, I don't understand why he won't talk to me. I didn't go anywhere. Still sitting here. It's fine. See, people come into the church service with the wrong attitude. It's about others, or the building, or the people, or the programs. How come they don't let us park in the parking lot? Because there's lost people that haven't gotten yelled at yet. And they don't know any better. And if it's all filled up, they're just going to drive by. They're going to be like, there's no space for me. So we just want to clear that thing out. It's like, this is a nice little church. Well, you can park at Terminal Park Elementary. You can park a couple blocks away. You can carpool. Dude, you know what's funny? People walk for a good meal. Oh, this is the best restaurant. Never in here before. We're going to park 5 blocks away. If you come to church to worship God, parking doesn't matter. You would never say to your spouse, hey, I was going to visit you at work and bring you lunch, but there was no parking, so I just went home. And some, you know, here's the other part of it too, is that some of y'all are all worked up about the stuff that I'm saying because you're not even saved. You're not even a Christian. And you would say, man, why does this guy got to be so heavy-handed? I'm not being heavy-handed, man. I'm just being truthful. And so if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Because here's Christianity in a nutshell. You cannot be in a relationship with God on your own. You can only do it through Jesus. You have to turn away from sin, turn towards God, be forgiven of your sins. And part of that is realizing depravity, realizing how depraved you really are. And then when God saves you, you're thankful that he has saved you. Not because you thought you were good enough, because you realize, man, there's... chokes me up, man. Most people, if they knew your heart, would never be in relationship with you. If every thought you had was laid bare, if everything, those quick things that you think, people, like if it was just on a reader board, none of us would talk to anybody. Right? All y'all should amen on that. But God in his mercy forgave us. He made me a son. He made me a king. He made me a new creation. You have to have that experience, because if not, it's just singing songs. And God doesn't want you to sing songs. He wants a heart of worship. Secondly, we must never forget where we came from. We must never forget what God saved us from. See, Hannah knew who she was and what God had did, and she didn't forget that. In Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 13, it says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made by the flesh, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I didn't even make the cut in the first round. Like, Jesus didn't come for the Gentiles. He came for the Jews. We weren't even going to get in. And then God was like, you know what? Let's let them all in. We're going to engraft the Gentiles into Israel, even though that wasn't God's original statement to us at all. Do you remember what Jesus saved you from? Do you? Do you remember what he's forgiven you from? And listen, man, I got saved back in 1990, so I've been serving God for 28 years. But man, he's forgiven me of a lot in the last 28 years. I didn't like get saved when I was 15 years old and then been living a sinless life for the last 28 years. Have y'all?
No.
Okay, because some I look at y'all and I'm like, man, that poor wretched man. Oh man, I don't deserve any of this. None of it, man. I don't deserve a wonderful wife and kids and you guys and the fellowship of the saints that we get with one another. Like, this is heaven on earth, man. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced in my life, just serving God. I love being alive. People say, well, are you afraid of death? No, I just haven't experienced it yet, but I'm really sure I like this. You know, when's the last time you ate some pork ribs? You know what I'm saying? God, glory to God. Hallelujah. People say, you know, you taught me this week. Never heard that before. That hunger is the best spice. Hunger is the best spice. Dude, don't eat for 2 days and then eat peanut butter and jelly. He was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Peanut butter and jelly. You've lost sight of just realizing the blessings that God has for you. See, here's the part, is that 2 Peter 3:7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's not just what we've been given, it's what we've been saved from. Lapse in the lake of fire, utter and complete destruction, separation from God for eternity. I ain't going to hell, man. I'm excited.
Amen.
I'm excited I don't have to do laps in the lake of fire. And I don't care if there's stuff on this side of heaven that I never have or I never experience. God has given me enough when he saved me from my destruction.
Amen.
See, when you're in true worship, you're going to have boundless confidence. A true heart of worship that has confidence in who God is and you trust him. Hannah says, I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation.
Amen.
Only a person that truly understands God can look at enemies and just be like, you know what, man? You don't even know who you're messing with. I love you, but God gonna take care of you. Because you know, you have confidence in God, man. You know, I don't know why I'm talking about this stuff this morning. I'm kind of riffing. Here we go. I want you to wrap your mind around this process and what we do, okay? I am your pastor, and I'm a pastor at this church, right? And God has asked me to create a fellowship where we invite people in, and then I get up here and I just give it to you every week, right? And make sure that you don't like me and that you can't stand the things that I say. And then I have to believe that this church is still going to provide for the sustenance for my family, right? But y'all ain't my provider. God is. And when you live in this world where you realize, like, no, I can live for God. I can do what he has asked me to do and what he's called me to do. And he's going to protect me and he's going to take care of me and he's going to do whatever. And we've been living this life dependent on God 100% since we got married, but in the ministry for the last, 10 or 11 years. And there's no turning back in that. And what it should do, and why I think God set it up that way, is that you should look at your pastors and say, man, they can trust God. Why can't I trust God? You're not my provider. Your job isn't your provider. God is your provider. Either he is or he isn't. Either he's watching or he's not. You have boundless confidence. You can't worship what you don't trust. That's why you've got to get in your word. That's why you've got to put yourself in a position of trust. You know, Crystal and I were talking about this week. We were talking about, people say, we always talk about tithing. I don't talk about tithing because we need your money. We don't need your money. We're ahead of the number, and God provides for this church. He always has for 15 years. But what's interesting, we were talking about how people sometimes tithe because they want to get something from God, and it's a wrong heart to have it all. And then we talked about how we do our tithe because we just want to give God what is due his, he owns it or whatever. But here's the other part of it too. And it's just bottom line, man. When you tithe, you have less money, right? Our monthly budget is 10% off the top and it's gone. And oftentimes people say, well, when I tithe, I don't have what everybody else has. And when I tithe, I don't get to do what everybody else does. I don't get to live how everybody else lives. And it's true. If I took my tithe, I could have a different car. If I took my tithe, I could have a different house. If I took my tithe, I could have different clothes. Like all those different things of taking the tithe. But what the tithe says to a lost and unbelieving world, it says, you know what? I don't even care about that stuff, man. All I care about is my worship of God, man. I don't even need what the world needs. I don't need to have what the world has. If only to just show a lost and dying world how meaningless other things are, to show them how valuable God is just a testimony to a lost and dying world, because either God is watching or he's not, right? But you have confidence in that. You have confidence when you give to God and you say, you know what? I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to take care of every last part of my life. I have not missed any meals. I have gas in my tank. My kids are healthy and, you know, I got a roof over my head. I got some hay that needs to be watered in my front yard. You know what I mean? True worship is admiration that he saved you, that he's blessed you, that who he is and what he does. And you can't truly worship God unless your heart is towards him. Isaiah 29:13 says, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. To worship God, you've got to clear your mind and get off your phone, man. Got to quit thinking about where you need to be and what you need to do and just be like, you know what, God, I just want to clear my mind. I just want to think about you. I just want to adore you. I just want to worship you. I just want to lift you up. Have that adoration that loves God with fear and wonder. It's about seeing God bigger than yourself. You got to live with dependence on God, saying, you know what, God, I need you. I need you to provide for me. I need you to provide for my family, my health, my mental status. I need you to defend me, to sustain me, to guide me, to teach me, to love me, to accept me. And he will guard you. He will protect you. But this opportunity to worship God is an opportunity to declare your dependence on him. It's not for you to just make it all about you. And I know that for some of you, this just might be a little like mind shift where you're like, okay, I got to change the way that I think. Then good. Yeah. Then it changes the way in which you view it. Psalm 100 says this. I'm going to show you this. I love this psalm. It's so powerful. When you live a life of worship, your life is going to be different. It's going to be different for you because you do, and this is the, I'm going to read the scripture and then we're going to be done. Remember all those things that I said at the beginning of the church service of, or the sermon of why people come to church? When you make worshiping God the main thing, all of those other things happen naturally, which doesn't make them bad. Dude, I love you guys. I love seeing my friends and I love, like, you know what I mean? And we connect and we serve and we do all these other things. It's a natural byproduct of it, but it's not the reason why we do it. Does that make sense? And when you have that mindset of like, I'm worshiping God, this is what, not just when you're at church, man, it's so much more than that. When you're at work and you're at home or wherever you are and you're worshiping God, all the other byproducts that happen, I don't serve God for the blessings. It just so happens that when you serve God, blessings happen in your life. Sometimes it's suffering and it still means that God deserves to be worshiped. Amen. So Psalm 100 says this, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures for all generations. Will you close your eyes? Will you bow your heads? Hey, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today. It's really quite simple, man. Either you're living for Jesus or you're not. Either you've given your heart to him or you haven't. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. And it's really quite simple. You just have to determine and say, you know what? I'm done living for myself and for sin. I want to live for Jesus. I don't want to live for anybody else. And when you come to Jesus, he will forgive you of your sins. But it's not just about being forgiven. It's about a direction change where you say, you know what? I'm going to now live for him because of him forgiving me. And if you've never made that decision before and you want to do that for the first time, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody that needs to do that for the first time? Hand held high. Okay. We ask every week. Now, for all of us, myself included, man, hear a sermon like this about worship and you've got to kind of do a little bit of inventory in your own heart and say, man, is there areas of my life that I need to worship God more? Is there parts of my life that I'm making it about me instead of making it about him? Confess that sin today and say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to make it about me anymore. I want to make it about you. Father, we pray today in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that you would help us to be people of worship. God, that we wouldn't desire anything else or anyone else, but we would only desire you. Father, we pray that we would live lives of worship, that we would forever remember what you have done through your son, Jesus, in our lives, God. We submit ourselves to you, and we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen.
And we'll pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for that word this morning. We just thank you that it's about you. It's nothing else but about you. We pray that that word would go deep in our heart, that we could just walk out and not have it go one in one ear and out the other, but it would go deep. And we could repent and we would turn away from our old actions and make new choices to worship you no matter what we go through, no matter what we do, that we would worship you. And we say this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Remember to get your kids. They love you.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team. Thank you for watching.